Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glory. Shining down on me when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name.
Welcome to our St. Simon's morning service. I almost kind of want to say welcome to our church service, but this isn't church. What we're doing is not church. Church is God's people. Church is you, wherever you are. Whether you're a regular member of our church family, whether you're just simply looking in, we welcome you. And it is great to have you with us in some sense this morning, whether we've met, whether we've not met. I'm going to begin by reading some words from Acts chapter 2. They're words of Peter, one of Jesus' followers, that was spoken on the day of Pentecost, a couple of weeks after Jesus rose from the dead. And this is what Peter says to the crowd about Jesus. Jesus was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Wherever we are this morning, Jesus is risen. He is on the throne. He is reigning. And he is our hope. He is our hope both in life and in death. So let me pray as we begin, and then we're going to sing "To God Be the Glory." Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that wonderful truth that we were celebrating last week, that Jesus is risen, that he was not abandoned to the dead, and that therefore we as his people, we share his hope of resurrection life, and we share in his relationship to you too. Thank you that through Christ we gain everything and we gain you. Father, please help us to raise our eyes to see Jesus now and to give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing. Well, we've just sung these words, or you've just listened to them sung. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Because of Jesus' work on the cross, that is true for everyone who believes. And that gives us confidence to confess the times this week when we've not treated Jesus as we should, when we've not loved him, when we've not loved others. So we're going to say a prayer of confession now, and we're going to do that. There's some words on the screen and there's some bits for you to join into. So let's pray together. Jesus Christ, risen Master and triumphant Lord, we come to you in sorrow for our sins and confess to you our weakness and unbelief. We have lived by our own strength and not by the power of your resurrection. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, help us and hear us. We have lived by the light of our own eyes, as faithless and not believing. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. We have lived for this world alone and doubted our home in heaven. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. Well, may God, who is both powerful and loving, forgive us and free us from our sins, heal and strengthen us by his Spirit, and raise us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And one of Jesus' followers, John, writes this: if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that that is true. Thank you that Jesus is our atoning sacrifice. Thank you that he is our advocate before you, and he pleads our forgiveness on the basis of his sacrifice. Thank you for the confidence that that gives us, confidence for each and every day, knowing we are forgiven through him and that he is interceding for us in heaven. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to have our family focus now.
God's story, the good news. So part of God's story is about the gospel or the good news. And it goes like this. In the beginning, God made everything. The sun, the moon, stars, planets, the entire galaxy. And Earth was part of that creation. God made mountains and oceans and forests and deserts and animals that crawled on the ground and flew in the air and swam in the water. Then he made people, Adam and Eve, to live in a garden called Eden. And God called everything he had made good. There was just one rule. Adam and Eve could eat anything they wanted except for the fruit from this one tree. But a snake tricked Adam and Eve into disobeying that one rule. Because of that, sickness, sadness, and all kinds of bad things came into God's perfect creation, all because people made wrong choices. Part of how God punished Adam and Eve was by not allowing them in the perfect garden anymore. And if that were the end of the story, that would be bad news for us. That would mean all the wrong stuff in the world would never be made right. But God still loved people, and he had good news for them. He was going to send a rescuer. So they waited and waited and waited. Then one day the rescuer was born as a baby named Jesus. Christmas is when we celebrate the good news of Jesus being born. But it's not just that he was born, it's what he did later that was the best news of all. He took the punishment for all the wrong choices that anyone has ever made anywhere. See, all of us have continued to make wrong choices, just like Adam and Eve did. And just like Adam and Eve, we deserve to be punished for our wrong choices. But here's the thing, Jesus the rescuer never made a single bad choice. Kids, think about a time you made a bad choice. Maybe telling a lie, or taking something that wasn't yours, or hurting another person with something you did or said. Can you believe that whatever that was, Jesus never made a choice like that? And even though he never made a bad choice, he still took the punishment for our wrong choices? And then Jesus did something even more completely unexpected. He came back to life. Really, you can read about it in the Bible, in the stories written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We call those books Gospels, which is just an old fancy word for, you guessed it, the good news of Jesus coming to earth, dying for our wrong choices, and coming back to life. That's what we celebrate on Easter. But not just because coming back to life is totally amazing. By coming back to life, Jesus was showing that God can make anything new. There's nothing God can't do. He's more powerful than any sadness, shame, wrong choice, disease, disaster, and even death. And that's the best, most amazing good news of all. It's so amazing, Jesus' friends told everyone they could find about the good news. And those people told other people. And those people told other people. And on and on. And that's still happening today. In fact, you just heard the good news. And the Bible says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's another way to say God rescues us. And that rescue includes you, your friends, your family, and anyone else in the whole world. And that's the story of the good news. So, in case you missed it, here's the quick version. God made a perfect world. People made mistakes, and the world isn't perfect anymore. God promised his family a rescuer. The rescuer's name is Jesus. Jesus died to take a punishment we deserve, but he didn't stay dead. Jesus came back to life because Jesus can make anything new. And that's a part of God's story.
It's a light and a hammer, it's a fire and a sword. It's the voice of the Father, the word of the Lord. The blade of the Spirit can cut to the soul, and God will use it. It's a light and a hammer, it's a fire and a sword. It's the voice of the Father, the word of the Lord. The blade of the Spirit can cut to the soul, and God will use it to make us whole.
Well, we're going to spend some time praying now, or rather I'm going to give you a chance to do some praying, and whether that's on your own or whether that's with the people that you're with. There'll be some prayer points up on the screen as a bit of a guide of things to pray for. So just pause the video, pray, and then carry on whenever you're ready. But as we turn to prayer, I'm going to lead us in the Lord's Prayer. So, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Good morning, church. This morning's reading is taken from Psalm 31. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Keep me free from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. I hate those who cling to worthless idols. As for me, I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. You have not given me into the hands of the enemy, but have set my feet in a spacious place. Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish, and my ears by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction, and my bones grow weak. Because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of all my neighbours, and an object of dread to my closest friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me. I am forgotten as though I were dead. I have become like broken pottery, for I hear many whispering, terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life. But I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. Many times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Let me not be put to shame, Lord, for I have cried out to you. But let the wicked be put to shame and be silent in the realm of the dead. Let their lying lips be silenced, for with pride and contempt they speak arrogantly against the righteous. How abundant are the good things that you have stored up for those who fear you, that you bestow in the sight of all of those who take refuge in you. In the shelter of your presence you hide them from all human intrigues. You keep them safe in your dwelling from accusing tongues. Praise be to the Lord, for he showed me the wonders of his love when I was in a city under siege. In my alarm I said, I am cut off from your sight. Yet you heard my cry for mercy when I called to you for help. Love the Lord, all his faithful people. The Lord preserves those who are true to him. But the proud he pays back in full. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Hello. Well, just before we get into the psalm, can I just say, I'm not at home, I don't have my own stand. The people of Escapank Methodist Church have kindly let me use their one of their rooms. All safe, all fine, all anti-backed, don't worry, don't panic, it's literally next door to my house. There is absolutely no way I'm going to be able to record this in my house with a screaming nearly 1 year old and the it's just not going to work, it's not going to work at all. So here I am, lovely plants, beautiful, up your game Andy. But anyway, that's enough of that. Let's get into the word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it speaks to us. I thank you that it shows us Jesus Christ. And I thank you this morning that we have a rock and a refuge, that we have a hope, and we have a security which comes from your almighty sovereign hands. And Lord, I pray that we in Christ will be able to trust those hands more and deeper. And so, Father, would you come by your Spirit, help us to understand this passage, apply these things to our lives at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we've all got a new man in our life, haven't we? His name is Thomas Moore. We've seen him on the news. We've seen him traipse up and down his garden. We've seen many interviews, and every time we see him, we just, our heart just melts, and we just say, what a lovely man. And he's doing it to raise money, isn't he? Raising money. I don't know what he's up to. As I'm filming this, I think he's up to over £14 million now, which is just insanely amazing. One of the interviews that I saw, he points to his badge, and he's talking about the NHS. He points to his badge, and I'm not going to attempt the Latin. I'm not even going to go there. But one of his badges, it says this, fortune favours the brave. And he goes on about talking about how the NHS staff that have looked after him in the past, they are brave. They are the brave ones. And he's right. He's right. They are brave. And the brave because they are carrying on under the extra pressure, under the extra weight. And they are looking after people, risking their own lives. And that's courageous. And that's something to be applauded. Well, the psalm itself, it talks about this. It talks about having courage as Christians. It says it in verses 24. Well, let's read from verses 23. Love the Lord, all his faithful people. The Lord preserves those who are true to him, but the proud he pays back in full. Be strong, take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Or some versions might say, be strong and take courage. So how much do we need this sort of message in this day, this crazy, crazy day that we're living in now? In this psalm, it's like a roller coaster of emotion. It's filled with anxiety, stress, panic, paranoia. But it's also filled with assurance. It's peaceful. It's got comfort in there. It's full of hope. And as David to's and fro's, backwards and forward, like one minute he's panicking, and next minute he's at peace, and then he's anxious again, and then he's in full accord, and then he's stressed, and then he's strong, and he's all at the same time, this mingling of emotion. But ultimately, he comes to know and depend on the hands of God. And this is a comfort to us as well, isn't it? Because our lives are like this, especially at the moment. We feel like life is just all over the place. We feel like we're not ourselves, almost. It's reassuring, isn't it? Because it says that the Christian life isn't one of bells and whistles. It isn't one of ease. It isn't one that's just plain sailing. But there are difficulties that we face. There are ups, there's downs, there's highs and lows. And what we really need, especially in this day, is a day of hope. Well, it is a message of hope. Well, let this psalm be that for you. Let this psalm be that message of hope. In verse 24, be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. This psalm says, in your distress, in your turmoil, you can depend on God. And he will deliver you. Well, let's look at what it's like. What is it? What does it mean? What does it look like then? What's he saying when he tells us to be strong and take heart? Well, it can't be a kind of, well, we'll just keep your chin up, guys. Keep going. It can't just be this idea of being strong. I mean, David, when he's writing, it's not like he's in the mirror flexing, showing off his muscles, saying, being strong like me. Be like me, I'm strong. No, that's not what he's saying. Because that's not David here, is it? So the first thing that we want to look at is David's distress. David's distress. Just listen to the panic at the start of the psalm. You can hear his distress. In you, Lord, I've taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Verse 3. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead me and guide me. Free me from the trap that is set before me. You are my rock, my refuge. You can hear his panic. You can hear the commotion. You can hear that he's in distress as he urgently cries to God for refuge and deliverance. And look at what he says also. He calls on God's character. He says, deliver me in your righteousness. He says, for the sake of your name. He says, for your glory, deliver me, lead me and guide me. In verse 5, he says, my faithful God, the God of truth. He's calling upon God's character and saying, Lord, your character, for your glory, you're the God of righteousness, you're the faithful God, rescue me. Rescue me. So what is going on with him? What is actually, what's the problem with David? What's going on with him? Well, verse 5 says this, verse 11, we get a clearer picture of what's actually happening. It says this, because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbours, an object of dread to my closest friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me. I'm forgotten as though I were dead. I've become like broken pottery. For I hear many whispering terror on every side. They conspire against me. David is completely abandoned by those around him. He's regarded as worthless to his neighbours. His best friends see him as an object of dread. I mean, he can't even walk down the street without people running away from him. He's fearing his life as people are conspiring against him. He's trapped. He's hemmed in. He can't go anywhere. He's on his own. He's despised and rejected. And it has absolutely wrecked him. It's ruined him. I mean, just look at him in verses 9 to 10. Be merciful to me, Lord. I'm in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction and my bones grow weak. It's not a pretty picture, is it? I mean, it's not that he's like close to breaking point, is it? It's that he's past breaking point. It's that he's absolutely shattered. He's crash landed at the bottom, hasn't he? And he's shattered into pieces. He's mentally and physically goosed. He's a broken man, filled with sorrow, grief, and anguish because of his affliction. He says, my strength fails, my bones grow weak. And over in verse 22, he says at this point, it's like he's been cut off from the sight of God. I'm sure that's something that we can all relate to from time to time in our life. Where are you, Lord? So how can this man, this weak, pitiful man, tell us to be strong? How can this weak, pitiful man tell us to take heart? Well, the second thing we need to look at is David's dependence. David's dependence. Well, David knows there's a safe place to go. He knows there is a rock and a refuge. He knows that there is an escape from the storm. And it's in the sovereign, tender hands of the Lord. The capital letter Lord, the Yahweh, the covenant-making, faithful God. And so he says in verse 5, into your hands I commit my spirit. Into your hands, Lord, give myself to you. Notice what he doesn't say is, I could just do to try a new hobby. I don't know, let's take up dancing. He doesn't say, oh, well, maybe I just need to go for a few runs around the block, get the endorphins going, you know, maybe I just need to do a proper workout, maybe feel a bit better, take my mind off things, get on the punch bag maybe. Notice how he doesn't say, you know what, I'm not really living to my full potential. No, notice how he doesn't say, I just need to believe in myself. No, he doesn't do that. Because that's a stupid message. It's a damaging message. He turns and he trusts God. He depends on him. He says, doesn't he? As for me, I trusted. Well, verse 6, I hate those who cling to worthless idols, things that never actually save, things that never actually rescue. And he says, as for me, I trust the Lord. And he says the same thing in verse 15, but I trust you, Lord. I say, you are my God. Verse 16, my times are in your hands. He doesn't run to the worthless idols. No, he commits himself. He entrusts himself. He flumps himself into the arms and the hands of the living God. He says, my life, my time, my everything is in your hands. And there he finds his security. There he finds his safety. There he finds his deliverance from his distress. And that's the third thing we need to look at. David's deliverance. Verse 7. I will be glad and rejoice in your love. For you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. You have not given me into the hands of my enemy, but have set my feet in a spacious place. Well, picture you've gone for a walk up a mountain. And things are looking okay, things are going well, and then all of a sudden you find yourself caught in a storm, a cloud moves in, a dark cloud. And all of a sudden you are being absolutely peppered by the sleet and the hail and the wind and the rain. And so what do? You find a rock, don't you? Or a crack, just to take some shelter. But then you realise that this storm is going to go on for some time. So what do? Well, it may have happened to some of you. I don't know. You phone for rescue, don't you? And they come and they get you and then they bring you down to the bottom, obviously. And all of a sudden you're safe at the bottom. And it's almost like that's the imagery that's going on here, as he's safe in the rock, but here he's being delivered down to the bottom of the mountain and down to safety, where it's peaceful and calm. He's on level ground, on the flat land. He's delivered from his distress. But what's interesting here is that he's praying in a way, and saying this in a way, that he's praying for deliverance, isn't he? He hasn't yet been delivered, David. Yet he speaks so confidently as though he has been delivered. It's almost like he's saying, so true to yourself, so faithful are you, so secure and trustworthy are your hands, Lord, that it's as good as done. I am delivered. You've heard my cry and you have delivered me. And so, as you're working your way through this psalm, you'll see David start to be, or by the end especially, start to be put, it's almost like he's being put back together again. That he's a man that's ruined, he's sort of like undone, and now in the faithful hands of God, knowing that he's delivered from this, he's starting to be put back together again. And so he summarizes his experience in 21 and 22. He says, praise be to the Lord, for he has showed me the wonders of his love. When I was in a city under siege, in my alarm I said, I am cut off from your sight, yet you heard my cry for mercy. You've heard my cry for mercy. David, in his distress, depends on God that he will deliver him. And there he starts to be put back together. There he starts to come on level ground. There he starts to find his strength. Well, what we're going to do now is we're going to take a break. It might be worth even just pausing at this point before we sing and just skim reading over the psalm and noticing the contrast. And maybe you want to have a conversation with those in your family. Maybe you don't. I don't know. And just ask the question, in what areas of your own life can you relate to David's experience? of being anguish and then being at peace and then trying to trust God and then being back in anguish. And in what areas of your own life can you see that? Yeah, you don't have to. You can just crack on. We're going to sing a song. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Very fitting one. So why don't we do that together now? Back to the second part of the talk. A lot of you are going to be worried because I haven't really mentioned Jesus yet. I've not really pointed anything to him, and that you're right to do so because of all of our hope in the Christian life is found in Christ. This psalm is about Christ. Jesus knows that this psalm is about him, and he would have used this as a prayer himself. So how do we hear Jesus pray this prayer? How does he pray this prayer? Well, you can hear him, can't you? You can hear him all the way through everything that we've looked at. You can hear him as he's overwhelmed with sorrow, grief, anguish, in the darkness of distress. You can hear him pray as people are plotting against him to hand him over. You can hear him pray as he has become the object of dread to his closest friends. You can hear him pray to the Father, come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock, be my refuge. Free me from the trap that's set before me. And you can hear him pray on the cross in Luke 23, verse 46. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. As he's dying on the cross, committing himself to the Father, to his hands. My days are in your hands. My life is yours. Into your hands I commit my spirit. You can also hear him pray, I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and you knew the anguish of my soul. You have not given me into the hands of the enemy, but you have set my feet into a spacious place. So everything that we've been looking at with David, you can be say, you can say the same for Jesus, that Jesus, what Jesus Christ in his great distress depended on God for deliverance, trusted in God the Father that he would deliver him, that he would free him, that he would take him through the greatest anguish of all, which was death itself. Those are the enemies that Jesus faced. Sin, death, and hell. And Jesus on the cross defeated those enemies. He committed himself to the Heavenly Father and depended completely on him. And was rescued from his distress. This is the good news of the gospel. This is what Christianity hangs on. This is what it's all about the gospel, about Jesus Christ taking on the worst, taking on the greatest enemy in our place, hanging on the cross, crying out in distress, depending on the Father, taking our sin, taking our shame, conquering death, conquering Satan, conquering hell, conquering those great enemies that we all face. And he wins. In him there is the victory. And in that lies all our hope. In there lies our strength. There is where we can say, okay, Lord, I'm going to take heart and trust. Because Jesus has gone before us. And we are in him. And he is in the Father's hands. So let me just pause here for a second. Let me just ask. I don't know who's listening. But what if I was to ask you, what is the deliverance that you need now? Now, I'm guessing because of this pandemic and everything that's going on, as the cases are rising still, as the death toll's rising still, the deliverance that we might think we need is we need all this to stop. We need life back to normal. We need to just get things back to the way they were. We need this COVID-19 to just go away. And maybe that's the deliverance that we think we need. But do we not need a greater deliverance? Do we not need something bigger than that? Do we not need something that can look COVID in the face and say, okay, I don't want you, but I don't ultimately fear you. I know one that's defeated you. I know one that's defeated death. I know one that's defeated hell and sin and Satan. I know one that's going to take me to the other side of death. His name is Jesus. That's what we need, isn't it? That's the hope that we need. This book that we're going to hand out to the people that attend the church, it's called Beyond the Big Sea, Hope in the Face of Death, and it's written by a guy called Jeremy Marshall. Now, he's just wrote this simple book. Now, he is sadly dying. He's terminally ill. He's wrote this book as a message of hope, to show that there is hope beyond death. That's what it's saying, hope in the face of death. And so, what I would suggest is when you get it, read it, obviously, but also give it. You know what I mean? Give it to some other people, because this is what everyone seems to be crying out for, hope in the face of death. It's what we all need. It's what's causing, death is what's causing so much anxiety, so much stress, so much upset at the minute, isn't it? And so having hope in the face of death, obviously it just changes everything, doesn't it? So let me just read a little bit about what Jeremy says. He says this, what can we offer? What can we offer? As well as compassion for those who are suffering from cancer or other terminal diseases, is the one thing that the world craves above all things, hope in the face of death. He says, I love to tell people how the Lord has, by his death, defeated death. God's ultimate treatment is not a philosophy, it's not a theology or a morality, but a person. When nothing else makes sense, when nothing else is left, Jesus is there to hold us fast if we trust in him. When nothing else makes sense, when nothing else is left, Jesus is there and he will hold us fast. And that's the hope of the Christian faith. That's the hope of the gospel. So maybe you're listening in and you're not a Christian. You're just maybe intrigued. Well, maybe today is the day that you want to say, I need this, I need that, I need hope in the face of death. I'm terrified right now of what's going on. And so come, cry out to him. Cry out to him, deliver me, free me, rescue me, be my rock, be my refuge. Deliver me from this distress. Deliver me from my sin. Deliver me from my shame. Come and save me, rescue me, forgive me. I trust in Jesus. I trust in him as Lord of my life. For the Christian, there is so much good to look forward to. The psalm goes on in verse 19 to talk about, we've got like a storehouse of blessing in Christ. How abundant are the good things that you have stored up for those who fear you, that you bestow on the sight of all, that for those who take refuge in you. It's like he's saying there's a huge storehouse of blessing and goodness from the Lord. In the shelter of your presence, you hide them from the human intrigues. You keep them safe in your dwelling and from accusing tongues. An abundance of storehouse for those who take a storehouse of goodness and grace and riches for those who take refuge, for those who fear you, those who take shelter under Jesus Christ. What a great, great gospel this is. That it's not only that we beat death, but we've got an immense amount of goodness and blessing stored up in Christ Jesus. So the flip side of that is that we haven't got anything. The flip side of that is that that death wins. The flip side is that death wins and it eternally hurts. Praise be to God that in Christ there is the victory. That in Christ, death is defeated, sin has gone. And that we can make our cry, Lord, deliver me from our distress, knowing that he will. So as we face death, as the threat of death comes all the more real, we can still find a rock and a refuge. We can still find hope in the midst of it. We can still find peace in the midst of it. As we can confidently look death in the face and say, okay, you might look like you're going to win. You might oppose a threat. But Jesus Christ has the victory over you. Jesus Christ has defeated you. So let's end with those verses. But this time, just picture, not David saying this, but picture Jesus Christ saying this to you today. Picture Jesus Christ looking at you right in your eyes, right in your face, and saying, saying verse 23, love the Lord, all his faithful people. The Lord preserves those who are true to him, but the proud he pays back in full. Verse 24, be strong, take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. And I pray that would happen. I pray that that will be our hope, that we will be able to look at the circumstance around us and that we will be able to be strong and take heart and hope in the Lord, knowing that the ultimate victory has been found in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word to us. I thank you that there is hope in the face of death in Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you that he has gone before us. I thank you that he has himself tasted the depths of distress. And Lord, as we see him rest upon you, Lord, I pray that we too would do the same, knowing that you have delivered him. Father, we thank you for the eternal life that you give us. We thank you for the blessed hope that we have as Christians. We thank you that we have life everlasting. And we look forward to that day, Lord, when we will see you face to face. We look forward to that day where we will be with you. And there will be no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more distress. There will be no more heartache, no more trouble, no more storms in life, but just complete and utter peace and joy and abundance of good things stored up for us. So Father, would you come and in this time encourage our hearts, help us to take heart as we hope in you. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Tempter would prevail, he will hold.
Well, just before we close, I want to say thank you. Thank you for joining us. Thank you as well for those that are involved behind the scenes in allowing us week by week to put these online services together so that we can hear God speak to us, so that our eyes can be lifted to Christ. Thank you particularly to Andy Norcross and to the musicians for the work that they're doing in order to make these services possible. Let me finish by reading some words again from Psalm 31. Turn your ear to me, come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Heavenly Father, we thank you that because that was true of Jesus, that is true of us. And thank you that Jesus is our refuge and he is our rock, our strong fortress and our rock of refuge. Father, would each one of us find time this week to delight in the refuge that we have in him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you once again for joining us. If you are looking in and you don't yet consider yourself to be a follower of Jesus, you don't yet consider yourself to have found refuge in him, I'd love to hear from you. Drop us an email. It'd be great to chat some more. But thanks again, and we'll see you next week at 11 o'clock.